This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
For Ramadan, and we will pick up after Ramadan, inshallah, until we continue the book, and we'll announce if there's any schedule changes when we resume. So, previously, we had talked about Allah's name, As-Salam. And we said that Allah's name, As-Salam, had two primary meanings. Does anybody recall what those two primary meanings were? Or at least one of them. Anything. Wallahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-malik al-quddus as-salam. What does that mean? Does that not mean anything? That's one of the meanings, yes, peace. This is in the sense that we say assalamu alaikum, right? Peace be upon you, it's a wish, right? And it's not any type of peace. It's not simply a political peace. It's an internal peace that is achieved through the submission to Allah Azza wa Jal and living in harmony with His created order. So that was one of the meanings. Okay, but there's a different meaning to salam as well. Anybody remember what that was? Something as salama. Ma'a salama. Or salim. The first meaning was peace. And the second meaning was wholeness or completeness. Something is salam, the quality of salama is something being sound, something being complete, something being whole. When we say ma salama, it's a common greet or words of parting, a salutation in Arabic, it means go with salama. Safely. And we can see the relationship between the two. There's a relationship between peace and wholeness or completeness. So the other meaning of Allah's being As-Salam was His completeness in the sense of His perfection. That Allah Azza wa Jal is Salam from every imperfection or incompletion. He is perfect. So we've seen before how this author likes to connect, run a thread through the chapters and connect the different meanings in some sort of way. So based off of that second meaning of As-Salam, we have our next chapter, Al-Quddus, As-Subuh. He puts them together in one chapter, Al-Quddus, As-Subuh. As for Al-Quddus, it occurs in the Quran twice. Once in the ayah that I just quoted in Surah Al-Hashr, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس. Then it also occurs in Surah Al-Jum'ah, يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض الملك القدوس العزيز الحكيم. Al-Quddus roughly translates to the holy. We call the city of Jerusalem in Arabic Al-Quds. We say that a hadith which contains the words of Allah Azza wa Jal himself is a hadith Qudsi. We have the sacred valley or the holy valley that Musa alayhi salam entered. Muqaddasi Tuwa in the Quran. And so on and so forth. We have other examples in the Quran, all of them revolving around this three-letter root, Qaf, Dal, Sin, which means holy or sacred. And so Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Quddus. He is the holy. He is the sacred. And in this day and age, this term holy and especially sacred is thrown around a lot. It's been abused to the point where it almost has no meaning anymore. People have figured out that a shortcut to gaining validation for their base desires and wants is to label them sacred. We see today in the cult of the self, which the self is probably the biggest idol that we have in North America right now. All these things being referred to as sacred, my sacred traditions, my sacred this, my sacred that. Books on New Age spirituality, spirituality but not religious, all these sorts of things are filled with references to the sacred. Even in liberal arts colleges, such as the one I graduated from, I'm sure Hamilton right down the road, has a lot of work in which the term sacred is used. Something is sacred to a people. And inevitably, in this day and age, when we're talking about sacred, we're allowing human beings to define what is sacred. If you allow human beings to define what is sacred, what are they going to define? They're going to define as sacred what the nafs wants. If you want a certain lifestyle, or you want a certain career, or you want a certain relationship, or a certain romantic experience, these all become sacred if the self is holy and the self gets to define what is and what isn't sacred. So remembering that Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Quddus, that He is the sacred, He is the holy. And as with all of Allah's names, that means that all holiness and sacredness comes from Him, is derived from Him, and given by His authority. Just like all knowledge not only pales in comparison to Allah's knowledge, but is given as a gift by Allah's permission. And all sight and all hearing and all awareness and all wisdom and all success and all provision is merely a secondary sort of provision, and etc., etc., which is derived from Allah's provision, granted by His will. So too is anything that we would call sacred in this world must necessarily be given as a gift and by authority by Allah Azza wa Jal. Has Allah Azza wa Jal and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam given us any evidence to tell us that something in this world is sacred, other than Allah? Has Allah Azza wa Jal told us that the self is sacred, or that what the self yearns for and desires is sacred, or Our romantic feelings, no matter who they are for, are sacred, or our cultural traditions are sacred. Allah has given no such authority. In fact, we find the opposite. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, everything in this world is mal'oon, is cursed, except for two things. The remembrance of Allah, and I believe the second thing was knowledge, beneficial knowledge. So we see that we're very much at odds here with a certain prevailing cultural orientation that slings around the term sacred carelessly, and in reality, in a way that's just trying to justify things that people want so that they don't have to be challenged. Why do you worship this thing, this idol? Well, that's my sacred tradition. Why are you attracted to this person, or you let yourself have relationships with this type of person? Well, that's my sacred feelings, or my sacred kind of lived experience. This is an exercise in vanity, and this is a cheapening of what sacred really means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Quddus. He is the holy, and he's the authority on what is holy and what's not holy, and the source of everything that is actually holy. Where does this holiness stem from? If we're going to critique not just the source, but the content of all these claims, this is sacred, that's sacred, everything's sacred, then there's a critique not just to where it comes from, but also to its content. What makes Allah Al-Quddus? What makes Allah the holy? Holiness, just like a salam, is in completion. Completion. Al-Quddus means perfection. And that perfection is divided or can be categorized into two aspects of this perfection. And nothing, I should say anything, that does not have perfection or these two aspects of perfection is simply not holy. The first aspect, as we just said, is completeness. Al-Quddus means that Allah Azza wa Jalla is complete, and it frees his name, it clears his name from any allegation or claim of imperfection or incompleteness, more specifically. Allah Azza wa Jalla does not forget because his knowledge is complete. Allah Azza wa Jalla experiences no fatigue or tiredness because Allah's qudra, his ability, is complete. Allah Azza wa Jalla has no inability because his ability is complete. He does not oppress because his justice is complete. And so on and so forth. So anything that does not have this quality of completeness, perfect completeness, cannot be called holy. Someone's romantic feelings towards someone else is a need in and of itself. It expresses a deficiency or a lack that seeks to be fulfilled. How can such a thing be called sacred? When Allah Azza wa Jalla is Al-Ghani, he is free from need. And he is Al-Quddus, the perfect, the complete. No, we find that everything is able to be challenged except Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَلَا يُسْأَلْ, Allah says in the Quran. He is not asked because he is the true Al-Quddus. He is the real sacred. He's not asked about what he does. وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ, and they will be asked, because they are not sacred, Their desires are not sacred. Their sense of identity is not sacred. Who they think that they are is not sacred. What they want from this world is not sacred. It's all able to be challenged and questioned and judged. Yes, judged. The second component of Allah's perfection, or the second aspect of the fact that He is Al-Quddus, is that it is free from any likeness or similitude or comparison. What we mean to say is that it is unique. Allah is perfect because He is unique. He is Al-Quddus. He is sacred because He is unique. He is unique in His entity, in His being. There is no being like Allah. And He is unique in everything that He is. The knowing, His knowledge is unique. His seeing, His sight is unique. His hearing is unique. His power is unique. His justice and wisdom is unique. His love is unique. Can we say that the self is unique? There might be degrees or ways in which the self is unique. But there are certainly ways in which the human self is very similar to other human selves in what it yearns for, in what it desires, in how those desires are plastic, in the sense that they are flexible, they can be molded, they can be manipulated, they can be shaped, they can be implanted. Human beings can accumulate desires that they never knew they were capable of before. This is the job of marketing and advertisement. And who's the best marketer but the devil? Literally, their job is to create the demand. If economy is dependent on supply and demand and there's not enough demand, the job of the marketer or the advertiser is to create that demand. He wants to create the desire inside of you so that he can sell his product. The devil does the same thing. More commonalities than uniqueness. We could say maybe unique in the details, perhaps, at best, unique in the details. But at the level of category, at the level of type, the same thing. And so can we stand here and say that the human self, or a human identity, or a human sexuality, or a human desire, romantic feelings, anything else is sacred, unique, complete? This is an abuse of this word. Allah is Al-Quddus. He is sacred. His sacredness comes from the fact that He is complete and He is unique. There is nothing like Him, and there is no imperfection. The second name in this chapter that's right, 100%. Once the word sacred is used, the excuse is used that it cannot be wrong. Exactly. It's the biggest rubber stamp that we have probably in our culture right now. We've relativized truth. Your truth, my truth. You're just living your truth. You're living your best life. All these kinds of slogans that have come up in our culture. Many of them, even if they weren't intended at the outset, many of them are wielded and used to merely affirm what the self wants, which is what makes Islam, honestly, the last hope for humanity. Islam is the last man standing when it comes to being willing to challenge the self and challenge desires and say, wait a second, no, you are not your desires. They are two separate things. And we know this because right now you have desires that you never had before. And a future version of you will have desires that you don't have now. These desires that pass through you, that you experience, they are temporary guests. They come and go. And in fact, your role and your responsibility and your job in this world is to react and manage and responsibly handle. Of course, sometimes winning and sometimes losing, that's, we're all imperfect. But to deal with these desires, not to just say that they're all essentially who we are, that we are nothing but our desires and our identity, this identity that we've constructed for ourselves. So Islam is one of the last things that stands in the way of this sort of thought. Very, very radical philosophically for the time that we live in. You are not yourself. You are not your desires. You don't even own yourself. Allah Azza wa Jal owns you. My body, my choice, right? This is one of the calling cards of today. And look at how it's used to justify certain things that are morally reprehensible. And it stems from a premise that is completely un-Islamic. It's not your body. Yes, it is your choice. And so you can be judged according to your choice. But it's not your body. It's Allah's body. He's merely lent it to you for a short period of time. Anyway, As-Subuh. As-Subuh, the second name in this chapter, is very similar to Al-Quddus in meaning. However, As-Subuh does not exist in the Quran. It never occurred in the Quran. We find it in the Hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, and this is a hadith in Sahih Muslim, when he was in his sujood, Subuh Quddus Rabbul Malaikati Warruh. This is the occurrence of the name As-Subuh. As for the verb, it's all over the Quran. In imperative form as a command, Wasabbih bihamdi rabbika wastaghfirhu. Sabbih. This is the root from which we get the word Subhanallah. Subhan means to affirm the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by clearing his name from any imperfections or any incompleteness. It's very, very similar to Al-Quddus. And it's significant that our faith is not complete without this dual kind of action. It's not enough to merely affirm that Allah is perfect. We're also called upon to deny that Allah is imperfect. Right? This is what we're doing with tasbih, subhanallah. We're not merely saying that Allah is perfect. We're saying that Allah has no imperfection. We're rejecting, denying categorically the possibility that Allah could be incomplete in any way, or imperfect in any way, or like or similar to the creation in any way. And if we were only to choose one of these two activities, affirming the positive and denying the negative, we would fall into an extreme somewhere, as others have in times past. If we content ourselves or suffice ourselves or stop at merely denying what Allah is not, we can get carried away to the point of denying even things that Allah is. And some people have fallen into this sort of doubt where they think that even the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described himself with must not mean anything really. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he is above the heavens and the earth, like in Surah Al-Mulk, man fi samaa, or that he is established above his throne, some people, running away from making any comparisons, can fall into this extreme of just negating everything, to the point where you can say, oh no, we can't say that Allah has knowledge or has existence or has anything, because we have knowledge and we have existence. And you see the problem they've made for themselves. This is going too far with the negation. And the other extreme, going too far with affirmation, to the point where we're making comparisons and similitude. Imagining that Allah has sight with eyes like our eyes that require light and things like that. This is taking that too far. And so the right way, as is the normal case, is right in the middle. We have both the affirmation of Allah, what he told us about himself, and the negation of all that Allah told us that he's not, and clearing his name from any sort of imperfection or incompleteness. And this is summarized in a hadith that the Prophet Muhammad said, a very important formula for remembering Allah, for dhikr. The Prophet said, two words that are light upon the tongue and heavy on the scales in the day of judgment. And beloved to Ar-Rahman, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi wa Subhanallahi al-Azim. And this is both in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Both of them have Subhanallah, and both of them have positive, affirmative aspects of Allah's perfection. Subhanallah, which clears Allah from any incompletion or imperfection, wa bihamdihi, and his praise, which is positive or affirmative. Subhanallahi, which is again clearing him from any imperfection, al-azim, the great, the majestic, the mighty. Again, affirming the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jalla. One of the benefits that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Subhanallah, and this is not as well known, is that it is a source of provision in this world. It is a source of rizq. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Wa biha yurzaqul khalq." He said, he was commenting about "Wa Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi fa innaha salah kull shay." Wa biha يُرْزَقُ الْخَلْقُ. By saying this formula, with of course understanding what it means and applying it in your life, it's not going to do good if it's just empty sounds. Then it will be a source of provision for you, both in this life and in the next. Let's try to get in one more name. Okay, so the next chapter is Al-Hamid. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says that he is Al-Hamid 17 times in the Quran. Al-Hamid translates to the praiseworthy. And we could spend a lot of time enumerating all of the things that make Allah the most praiseworthy. It suffices us, though, to mention the simple beginning of Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillah. The fact that Allah said Alhamd with Alif Lam, making it definite, means that all praise, praise is an entire category, belongs to Allah, is due to Allah, and Allah deserves it. This is for two reasons. First of all, the perfection of Allah, Azza wa Jal, as we said in the previous chapter. And second, because any capacity in which any other creature or any part of Allah's creation is praiseworthy is merely derived from Allah's praiseworthiness. If one of us is merciful, and so we deserve praise for that, Allah is more merciful than us, and Allah has gifted us our mercy. If any one of us is intelligent, and so deserves praise for that intelligence, Allah is more intelligent and more knowing, and further has gifted us that intelligence and knowledge. All of this makes Allah Azza wa Jal al-Hamid. Like Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nas, antum al-fuqara'u ila Allah, wallahu huwa al-ghaniyu al-hamid. That's in Surah Fatir, in Surah Al-Hajj. وَهُدُوا إِلَى الطَّيِّبِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ وَهُدُوا إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْحَمِيدِ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ سورة البقرة وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ سورة اللقمان. We notice that often Allah's name is paired with Allah's name Al-Hamid is paired with Ghani. And Al-Ghani, as you can recall us mentioning, means the self-sufficient. What's the relationship between being self-sufficient and being praiseworthy? Let's hear somebody's reflection. Why does Ghani and Hamid appear as a pair so often? Yes, very good. That's definitely part of it. If you are self-sufficient, then we can say that you are sincere. Right, Muhammad? You do not have an ulterior motive. You don't want anything else. You're not doing it in a transactional nature. And so isn't such a person praiseworthy? Allah Azza wa Jal teaches us something very, very subtle. Yes, and you don't need for anything. You don't have to ask. Allah Azza wa Jal teaches us something very, very subtle when he constantly and consistently pairs Al-Ghani and Hamid. He teaches us that praiseworthiness comes from self-sufficiency. This is summarized in the hadith of the companion who asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell me one thing that I can do that will make Allah love me and make the people love me. And interestingly enough, the Prophet ﷺ didn't correct him, say, why do you want to make the people love you? You shouldn't be concerned about making the people love you. People are fickle, people are this, people are that. These things that we tell each other, which might be true. But the Prophet ﷺ did not respond that way. He gave him a very concrete answer. He gave him a way that people could love him in a pure way that everybody should want to achieve. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, izhad fi dunya yuhibbuka Allah, wazhad fi ma inda an-nas yuhibbuka an-nas. He said, refrain from what is in this world and Allah Azza wa Jal will love you. And then he said, refrain from what belongs to people, and people will love you too. However much we want to be differently, if someone asks of us, especially if they do it more than once, there's a little part inside of us that doesn't like it. It's a trial for us. It's a test. It's something we need to struggle against, yes. But that little part of us is always there. And so when somebody does not ask anybody for anything, and on top of that, even when they're given or offered something, takes very little, it makes people naturally love that person. That person is light, we used to say in slang. Say, oh, he's light. Means he can come to your house and crash on your couch and he's not going to clean out your fridge or your cupboards. He doesn't need much. This is something praiseworthy. This is something that gets the love of the people and the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So being self-sufficient as much as possible leads to praiseworthiness. And who is more self-sufficient than Allah Azza wa Jalla? Of course, nothing and no one, which is part of the reason why he is supremely praiseworthy. Al-Hamid. Anyone have any questions? That takes us to the end of our time. Meanwhile, yeah. Okay, everybody have a wonderful weekend, and I'll see you next time, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.